Hello. I project. Testing. If I have them both on at the same time, I'm going to get feedback, correct? All righty. Well, it's good to see the number that we have with us today. I am sure that you all have been tuned in to whatever your choice of station that may be, whether that's CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, or our local stations. We're hearing a lot about this virus, which we've named COVID-19 and coronavirus. I have been on the phone over the last 3 to 4 days dealing with this continuously. Most of you know that I'm the CEO of the State Alliance of YMCA, so I work with 32 corporate Ys. And we're trying to make a determination whether we stay open, whether we close, or we contributing to this public health, what we've called an epidemic. In my opinion, we have not quite yet reached epidemic proportions. I can tell you there's a lot of things in this world that is at epidemic proportions and that we don't even pay any attention to. But however, I think we need to do our part, as been encouraged by the President of the United States, our Surgeon General, the Department of Health and Human Services have asked us to do a couple of things. But before I kind of get into some of the practicality of the coronavirus, there's a lot of anxiety that's out there. We have individuals that are stuck in their homes and not willing to go out. I stopped by Chick-fil-A yesterday. My wife and kids don't know that, but that's all right. They had their own food yesterday. And when I went by Chick-fil-A yesterday, it was nobody. Nobody there. The condiments were gone, the things that we typically do on our own to avoid human contact or the cross-contamination wasn't there. I tell you what, I've never been by Chick-fil-A and never seen a crowd of people. And they did say during lunchtime there was a lengthy line at the drive-thru. But nevertheless, let me start off, because I want to share a quick story with you to put this in perspective. By the way, I did not mention Brother Domingo is in Connecticut. I think he was there at a conference. He is speaking. Most of you know his really good friend, Norman Newton, is speaking at the conference, and Domingo is speaking at his current congregation. And then Brother Doug was next to speak, and I think Brother Doug is stuck someplace. Is that right, Brother Jim? South Carolina. But I'm not offended that now I'm like the third or fourth or the fifth on the pecking order. There used to be once upon a time that Domingo gets sick, he would say, it's all yours. But now we got Brother King, we have Brother Jim, we have Brother Doug, Brother Ed, we have several that can speak. So when Domingo called me yesterday, and he knew I was pretty busy on the phone, I said, you know what, I better take advantage of this opportunity. Because people at work tired of hearing me talk. People in my family in the house tired of hearing me talk. I said, there's a group of people that don't get to hear me talk that often. I might as well take advantage of this opportunity. So when I was up late last night, I emailed Lisa and Boyd last night about 1:30 a.m. I was on the phone all day yesterday. I took a nap from 10:30 to 11:30 and got up and then put something together. And Domingo sent me a couple things that he's talking about today. And he said his theme is trust in God. And I really can just sit down after you make that statement. But I want to share a few things that I put together for you this morning. I think I can advance this correctly, Lisa. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Excuse me. Chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. I have it up here on the screen. If I got it wrong, and I apologize if I did. It says, after arresting him, we're talking about Peter. He put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four quads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Oh, that's a message right there. We need to be earnestly praying in these particular times. Then it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. But I want to focus on verse number 6. And some of you may have heard this story before, may have read it several times. But now, prior to that, James, the son of John, was just martyred, was just killed by the sword. And they saw that it pleased the multitude. It pleaded the high priest. So what happened was, Herod said, "I might as well do the same thing to Peter." Peter's out here sharing his same information, and he saw that it pleased individuals, but he put him in jail so he can do it the next day. But it said the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping. I don't know about you, Brother Mark, but if there are some people that have bound me and put me in jail, want to have me killed, want to have me taken out, and have sought after me, I think the last thing I'm going to be doing, Brother Walter, is sleeping. He was sleeping between the two soldiers. Peter had rest. He was comforted. Something was comforting. And in fact, the angel had to smote him. He was in a deep sleep. He had to smote him, and Peter woke up thinking it was an angel. He tell him to do all these things. Peter didn't ask too many questions. Peter just did what he did. But around the turmoil that Peter had, all the things that Peter could not control, and Peter was going to be led to death the next day. And Peter was sleeping. I hope we're not losing too much sleep over this so-called time that we're having here, tribulation time. Because we know God is in control. God will protect us. God will watch us. God will take any provisions that he's wanting. He's God all by himself. And I remember my mother telling me one time that her and my father was traveling before my father passed, and they were in an airplane. And many of you rode in airplanes, and I'm not a fan of the turbulence. And when you hit pockets, it gets a little nervous and a little scary. But they hit a big pocket of air. And that plane dipped down a little bit and came back up. And my mother got extremely nervous. And she put her hands back and hit my daddy. And was upset with my daddy. Said, "Well, why are you not nervous? You're not scared?" My daddy said, "No. The only problem my father had was with the turbulence, he was trying to eat a turkey sandwich. And he couldn't quite balance it. Because every time he went to take a bite, it kept moving." My mother told me that story. My father was like, "God got this. I'm not going to stress myself out over this situation and that we have. We serve a big God." Let me tell you, God has given us magnificent bodies. God said when he created man, he saw it was good. And God gave us a lymphocyte system. He gave us immunological system. He gave us all of these things. He gave us a digestive system. Do you realize that our bodies is constantly fighting and warding off external invaders? God gave us hair in our nose. Why is that? Because when we breathe in the air, it's filtering the air. So we have all of these natural immune defense systems. And it is always working on our behalf. And now we have this small little thread of a, I'm calling a small thread, and I don't mean to belabor or to mollify the severity of this. I want us to follow practical standards, but I see this as something very small in the eyes of when we serve a big God. So a couple of tips that we have, and if I'm wrong, we have a real physician in the audience with us today. If anything I say wrong, Brother Connor, let me know. I'm like when my daughter say, I'm a fake doctor. I'm not an MD, I'm a PhD now. You're a fake doctor. She wasn't feeling well, and I was trying to diagnose her. She told her mama, take me to my doctor. Took her to the doctor. She say, finally, a real doctor that can tell me what's going on with me. All you need is some Tylenol, some castor oil, you'll be all right. That's all you need. You know I'm telling the truth. And our immune systems are not as strong as it used to be, Brother Jim. We used to play in the dirt. We used to go out, and in fact, we used to have apples. I take a bite, you take a bite, you take a bite, and we just pass it on around. Our immune systems was different during that time. My cousin Rudy used to collect bugs, crickets, water bugs. And in Texas, you ever seen a water bug? You ain't got no more space for any other insects after you get two of them in your pocket. Where was I going? All right, coronavirus tips. Practicality. We got to wash our hands. Every time you walk by the bathroom, anytime you're in a public place, wash your hands. You have to have sanitizer. My wife, Jeanette, keeps sanitizer in a bag. I was told now if you go to Amazon, and there's people selling the big containers for $500 because the supplies have gone out. All you need is some good soap and some water and wash your hands for 20 seconds. But what's the other story on that? What has God told us about wash hands? Wasn't the disciples together and they wanted to eat? I'm just breaking it down simplistically. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but those that know the scriptures in detail help me. And they got mad because it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Didn't they get upset and said, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of man? They don't wash their hands. God answered the question. He said, I'm not concerned about what you put in your mouth. I'm concerned about what's coming from your mouth that determines your filth or not. So the way that man sees things and the way that God sees things is different. Now, I'm not discouraging you from washing your hands. You wash your hands every time you go someplace, at home. And I'm going to tell you, men that have mold controls, y'all need to sanitize those mold controls, too, when you go home. Wipe them down and clean. I know that nobody else is supposed to be handling your mold control at home. I got four of them at home. One for DJ, Jayla, Janelle, and myself. And I have one of those good mold controls. You can speak into it, Brother Mark. And I find out my daughter been using that one. I went to use it the other day. The battery was dead. I had to go down in the basement, walk all the way down in the cold basement to get two batteries. And then she going to tell me, you know it's dead, Daddy. Cover your sneeze. Cover your sneeze. Now, sneezing, once again, is one of those natural mechanisms that we have for our human body. Once again, it helps us to ward off viruses, bacteria, diseases, allergens, or what we call antigens. But sometimes sneezing in the scriptures wasn't a bad thing. Some of y'all know the story of Elias. Elias was walking back and forth through Shunem, and there was a Shunammite woman that said, this must be a man of God. Walked to and from, so why don't we go in went upstairs, right, and they put a table and a chair for Elisha. And Elisha was so good, and she was so good to him that she asked, you know, what can I do for you? Is there anything I can do? And then his assistant, Gehazi, is that it? Gehazi, y'all help me out with the scripture. Gehazi was his servant. And he said, you know, I don't know, she didn't want anything, but she's older in age and she has no children. Well, Elisha told him, vacuum the hell. This. Things that we've been saying we're going to do for the last 3 years, we now can do. Slow down a little bit. That's what they're asking us to do. And not gather all together. Bible, the Lord tell us two or three that gather together in my name. But don't have to have a massive amount of people. Economic impact. I know that many is a fear. Many of us have fear about paying our bills. Well, I'm going to tell you like my uncle used to tell me. He said, I'm not concerned about my bills because when I die, I'm just going to leave them to y'all. I ain't worried about paying these bills. And right now, this stimulus package will help people to keep their electricity on and be able to help people to have food. But however, we can do it ourselves. If we have neighbors that are struggling, reach out. They need to keep their electricity on. You can assist. There's something that needs to be done in the house, help. If there's food that needs to be on the table, if they got to go to work and child care is scarce, and you got just a little bit of patience for 2 hours, watch them kids, help them out. Because it's economic burden, and we realize that we're such a global society. We have stores that are shutting down. We have YMCA, nonprofit organizations, for-profit companies. And I think we're trying to understand that we don't even need all that money. We're so preoccupied with our money and what's happening in the stock markets, driving ourselves crazy. Now, don't go and take all your money out the 401k. Don't panic. I had a conversation with somebody that's dear close to me. About want to take his money out. I said, my money down, your money down, everybody's money down. But God gave us an economic alternative. When Jesus went to the cross, he said, behold your son, behold your mother. So we're all concerned about our 401k. That ain't what God said. We're supposed to take care of one another. You're supposed to take care of your mother. And in fact, went a little bit farther. So you need to take care of your nephew. You need to be taking care of the aunt. So don't put all of our energy, effort, and time into this 401k because it's going to go up. It is going to go down. I have life insurance. I pay it every month. But do you know I ain't going to see that life insurance, Brother Mark? Janelle? She going to see it, so she's making sure I'm paying every month. And the kids, I ain't going to see it. I'm just paying it because I know I have a responsibility when I leave this earth. So we still have basic responsibility, but let's not get overly consumed with making money and putting money into the stock market that we're not using our fundamental sense and our God-giving responsibility. I'm almost done it because the children are coming back. All right. Thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things to be, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and he is not rich towards God. We know that Luke chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. And then our spiritual impact. Now the Bible tells us, trust in God. You know, it's a very good story when Jesus had fed. And I want to say in John chapter 6, Jesus not only fed the multitude, but he told them, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Bible tells us that that was a hard saying. And many of them turned back. They didn't understand the metaphoric way that God was speaking. He wasn't speaking literally about cannibalism. He was speaking metaphorically that you need to stay in tune and connected with me. And then most of them that Jesus had just fed, and this is practical. Sometimes we feed folks and we don't see them again for a couple more weeks. And they come back for some more food, feed them, and they don't see them for a couple more weeks. Jesus fed them. They said the sin was hard. They turned back. And Jesus asked them, this day of 12 disciples, will you turn back too? What Peter say? Well, where am I going to go? You have all things pertaining to life and godliness. So where are we going to go? Trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. This is unprecedented times. We understand that. If we follow practical examples, we'll be fine. But that's remember the author and finisher of our faith. We serve a big God. God will see us through this. God is asking us to trust him, asking us to listen to basic directions given by our government and local health officials. And I think that we, as civil, obedient children, should simply just follow those. But let's not get so overwhelmed, full of anxiety, that it's causing for our mental health to break down our physical health. Because then that would be worse than actually attracting the coronavirus. So the message is yours. Thank you for listening. We have any visitors. I'm looking across the audience. Look like we have members of the Lord's Church. But if not, if you're not a member of the Lord's Church, you gotta hear the gospel. You gotta believe the gospel. You gotta repent. You know, during times of ignorance, God winked at, but commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We gotta confess the sweetest name on earth, and we have to be immersed in the watery baptism. God told us that if you are planted together in my likeness, you'll be planted together in my resurrection. So let's please stand as we sing the song.